greet you all in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In whom we find faith and love. I am thankful for the grace of God.
Amen.
That He has unreservedly shown us. And I'm also thankful for God the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our helper, and our teacher, who enables us to grasp the truths and take a hold of them and live the abundant life that Christ came for. Amen.
Amen.
I am also thankful this morning that God has enabled me to be here. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 5 says, I lay down and I slept. I awoke because the Lord sustained me.
Amen.
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 The Lord sustained me. And that is why I'm here this morning, because of the sustaining power of God.
Amen.
And each one of us this morning should know that we are here because God, our Lord God, is sustaining us. About last month, I was supposed to be doing what I'm doing today. But that week, the week I was supposed to have preached, I was in hospital, and I was not able to make it. Okay, that's better. I knew the green button was not coming on. It's on now. Yeah. So that week I was supposed to preach. I was hospitalized, so I could not make it. But this morning, I am thankful that God has enabled me to be here. And in my place that day, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in my place that day, my brother Robinson, there he is. He took my place, and like he put it, he said, I am stepping into her shoes. And I want to say this morning, Brother Robinson, that I am stepping into your shoes. And I am picking up, as it were, from where you left from, and joining the rest of the others in carrying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it's all about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us should be moved to carry the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's all about the gospel. And I know the Spirit of the Lord God this morning is upon me to preach the gospel of the Word of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Isaiah 61 verse 1, 2, and 3 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open prison doors for those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. To give beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise. I say the garment of praise. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Hallelujah! That He may be glorified. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, we want to glorify you this morning, and we want to give you thanks and praise that is due to you. But now, O God, we want to especially ask that you will open our eyes, that we may behold great and wondrous things from your word. Let your Holy Spirit Minister to us, even as we behold your word, and meet each one of us at the point of need. Use me now, O God, according to your will and purpose at this hour, that you may be glorified. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalms and chapter 105, verse 17 to 22. Psalm 105. Verse 17 to 22. If you are there, please say amen. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The title of this sermon that I'm going to preach today is The Process of Knowing Him. Whatever we want to achieve in life, we need to go through a process. Processes are very important in every aspect of our lives and all around us. Every process necessitates change. In order for a process to take place, required conditions need to be present. The process that I'm going to talk to you about today is about the process of God, the process that God Himself puts us in. The process of knowing Him. And I'm calling it the process of time because the process that God is putting us in is really in the process of time. If God gave us things or whatever it is that we're hoping for instantaneously, we wouldn't need faith. Because our God is about faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. So when we go through the process without knowing what God is going to do for us, faith kicks in. Faith kicks in the process of our waiting. In our waiting, in the process of time. God gives us things, especially as we mature as Christians, or what we ask of Him and what has been promised in the process of time as we submit ourselves in faith according to His word, as we trust Him in His promises that we have claimed for ourselves. That was a mouthful. So as we mature as Christians, God gives us things in the process of time. And we are in our waiting, He gives us what we have asked of Him, what we are hoping for. Well, the Word of God is full of the promises which many have not been claimed by Christians because we have not gone to the Word of God and searched the Word of God and taken those pieces of Scripture which are of promise to us and taken them to our hearts and said, God, we will trust you with this. But one thing we should remember is that when we take the Word of God and choose to go by it, we will go through the fire with it. We should remember that when we take the Word of God and choose to go by it, we will go through the fire with it. Amen? The word of God has to be experienced. And in the experience, the word of God is tested. In the test, faith is exercised. For faith comes by hearing. And by hearing the word of God. Amen? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We cannot just hear the word of God without working it or putting it into practice, because faith without works is dead. The word of God activates faith, and works keep faith alive. It is in the process that the word of God comes alive. And in the process, we get to know him. Because really, the process is all about him, to bring glory and honor to him. I will not go on at this juncture in talking about the process of knowing him. Because before we get to know him, we need to meet him, lest we get caught up in all that's about him and never have met him. I would like today to introduce you to him, our God. Our God. Our Father. And we can call him Abba, Father. God is love. Amen. We can say this verse together, John 3:16. For God. Amen. For God so loved us that he gave. Amen. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love. And you see that God's love doesn't just sit there. God demonstrates his love. He shows his love. And it says, but God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, and this is Jesus speaking, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. John 1:12 says, for as many have received him, unto them he gave the power to become the children of God, and to those who believe. We can only be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ by the plan of salvation. Amen. We can only meet God at the foot of the cross when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior of our lives. And from there, I can say, we can begin to go
through the process of knowing him. Amen? And so today, we will see that when we take the Word of God and choose to live by it, it will be tested in us, thus taking us through the process of knowing him, and in the process, stepping into the will and purpose that he has for us, and bringing glory and honor to him. You know, like I'm saying, it's a process. Knowing him is a process. And we only get to know him as we take his word and experience it. And as we live our lives, we try to find out exactly what God wants us to do so that we can bring glory and honor to him. And it was impressed upon my heart that I should, you know, begin to speak. Many years back, that was impressed on my heart. But when I gave my very first sermon, I had come from a place of pain. I injured my back in December 2005, walking through a snowstorm. I went through almost a year of excruciating pain. I got around using a walker, and for longer distances, I used a wheelchair. After medications, rest, and physical therapy failed, I had my first back surgery. The surgery was successful. After a couple of months of recovery from the surgery, I gave my first sermon. After a little while, 2 years passed, I started having back pain again. I was put on narcotics to control the pain. It reached a point where the pain could not be alleviated, and I was put on one of the strongest pain medications, and this was morphine as the last resort. That, too, could not suffice. I had to have a second back surgery in 2012, which was followed by a painful, challenging road of getting off the narcotics I had been taking over the years. I am now free from the dependency on these pain medications. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I am walking in his healing. And I continue to claim the healing on me. I walk in my healing every day. I tell God that I am healed, and heal me, for you are my Lord. Amen. Amen. When I gave my first sermon, I said I had come from a place of pain. And in the same vein today, I can say the same thing. And I would like to begin the sermon today in somewhat the same way I did the very first sermon. Like Joseph had come from the pit to the palace and declared before his brothers, what was meant for evil, God has turned into good. I have also come from my pit of pain to the pulpit to declare that what the devil had meant for evil, God has turned into good. Through it all, I have seen the mercy and the goodness of God and beheld his glory. Amen. And we're going to see now Joseph. When Joseph had his dreams, he received a word of knowledge from the Lord that he would one day become a great ruler. He did not see what he would have to go through to get there. And it is also with the same with all of us. When we have a vision, a dream, or choose to hold on to the promise from God, we do not see the beginning and the in-between to the end. Until when we do not see the beginning, what's going to happen in between, and to the end when we get what we're hoping for. We do not see all that. Joseph didn't see that. All he knew is that one day he was going to be a ruler according to the way the dreams were being revealed to him. As for me, like I said, it was impressed on my spirit that I should preach. And I chose to be obedient to this calling according to the will of God in my life. Little did I know what I would have to go through to give my first sermon. It was almost a year of suffering with back pain that the first sermon was birthed. My biggest concern and question to this calling continued to be, what am I going to preach about? The messages now stem from the challenges I have had with chronic back pain and other health issues in the almost 10 years. From this stem many sermons, I believe, that are to come. In this process, I have gotten to know him as my healer, my deliverer, my comforter, my present help in time of trouble. And I have seen his glory. Now, we are going to look briefly at the story of Joseph on how the word he had received in his dreams unfolded in the process of time. Joseph was the son of Jacob. And Jacob so loved Joseph. He loved him more than all his sons. Let us turn to Genesis 37 and verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors." The brothers hated Joseph when they saw that their father indeed loved him more. So having made that tunic for Joseph kind of qualified that really he did love him more than all of them. And the brothers hated him. Then we can look also at Genesis 37 and verse 11. The account of the story of Joseph is very long, so we'll just look here and there to kind of get the story of Joseph. Verse 11 says, "And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." So we see again that his brothers still don't have good feelings about him, but his father kept everything in mind. And then one day his father sent him to check on his brothers. The brothers were out. Usually, they went to feed the flock. And they were out there. And one day, his father called him and said to Joseph, "You need to check on your brothers." And here now, is where the process for Moses kicks off. When he said to his father, "Here I am." To me, those words just ring out something. He said, "Here I am." And his father told him what he should go and do, to go and check on his brothers and see how they are feeding the flock. So Joseph set on ahead to Shechem. That's where the father had sent him, and I guess that's where they were really supposed to be, in Shechem, in Shechem, in the valley of Hebron. And when Joseph got there to Shechem, he found that his brothers were nowhere to be seen, so he started wandering around in the fields. And while he was wandering around in the fields, a certain man found him and said, "What are you doing here?" And Joseph told him that he was looking for his brothers. And this man told him that his brothers had gone to Dothan. So Joseph set on ahead, started off and on the journey to Dothan. And while he was still a long way off, his brothers saw him. And the brothers started plotting against him. They plotted to kill him. And we see that his brothers really did put him in a pit. Well, they had plotted to kill him, but Reuben, the eldest brother, told them that, "I think you should not do this. Just put him in a pit." So they did just throw him in a pit. I don't think they actually just put him there gently. They must have thrown him in there because they were so full of hate. You know, sometimes I imagine the pit, you know, a very nice, smooth pit, nice smelling, you know. But really, that pit must have been smelling awful, dusty and all that. So when they threw him in there, maybe he hit himself in a jagged rock, stone there or rock, and landed on some very hard place, you know. And one time I was watching a movie on Joseph, and when he was in there, there was even a big snake in there. I mean, you don't imagine all that. You just think, oh, he's in a pit. So the place wasn't very comfortable. It was dark in there. And when he was in there, he started, you know, probably screaming for help. But his brothers just went away, and they seated themselves and started to have a meal. The Bible said they sat down to have a meal. And I feel they were really engrossed in having this meal because their heads were down. Because at one place it says they looked up. So they were there busy eating. And then when they looked up, that's when they saw the Midianite traders. And that another great plan came. They said, "Look at the traders coming. We can make a profit here. Let's sell him to these Midianite traders." They went to the pit, maybe threw down a rope there and got him out, pulled him out, and went to the Midianite traders and, you know, negotiated. Imagine what hate they had. The negotiation, in all that negotiation, they couldn't think, "Man, we are selling our own brother." But they were so full of hate, they could sit down and eat a meal and be so engrossed in it. They could go and talk to these Midianite traders and negotiate for a price for their brother to make a profit. And so they did sell him off to the Midianite traders. But then, see what God does. These Midianite traders do not just keep him for themselves. They too go on ahead and sell them to Potiphar, an Egyptian who worked in Pharaoh's palace. And that's how Joseph found himself in Pharaoh's palace, from the pit to the palace, so to speak. So there, the process begins. You know, for each one of us, processes begin. And maybe some of us are not even aware of the process that God is working in us, the process of knowing him. We haven't yet put our fingers on it, but a process is taking place. Joseph had put a finger on what God was doing in his life, was preparing him for. So there he was talking about his dream to his brothers. And that's where they hated him for it, because they were thinking, "This guy thinks we are going to bow to him, thinks he's greater than us." and they began to hate him. And on top of that, the love that the father had for Joseph, they really hated him. And they got rid of him, so they thought. So Joseph left his family behind. When we enter the process of time, there are certain attachments we need to leave behind in order for the process to take effect. Those things can sometimes slow us down or even stop the process. So some of the attachments that we have can sometimes stop or slow down the process. So here, I guess it was inevitable, Joseph had to leave his family. So it's not a very nice thing, but that's what happened. Joseph left his family. God will provide what we need in the process, even the people that will enable the process. There are some people, as we are going through the process, that are there to help us go through the process of knowing Him. They are there to enable the process that God has started in us. And of course, there are some people who are there to disrupt the process that God is working in our lives. But the will of God will always prevail. Amen? The will of God will always prevail. Nothing can stop what God has started. He who has started a work in me will be faithful to complete it. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And also stagnation in the process can happen. Depending on how we respond, we can be stagnated in the process. But for Joseph, he excelled even in prison. Even in prison, Joseph excelled. He got the place, a high place, even in prison. Let's look at Genesis 39. Two to six. And it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all of that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. That got him into trouble too, for being so handsome in form and appearance. People that will try to disturb or disrupt the process. And that was Pharaoh's wife. He tried to get to Joseph, but Joseph was able to get out of it because he was in tune with God. He was obedient to the word of God. He knew this was not right, and he ran out from the presence of sin and was obedient to God. Genesis 22 to 23. Now this is about him being in the prison. And the keeper of his prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So like I said, even in the process of time, when things are going not like the way we think it should, according to what we are hoping for, Joseph was still prospering. For as long as you are obedient to God, even when things are not going the way they should, things will work out right when you are obedient to Him. And for the process to take place, we have to submit ourselves completely to the process in obedience to what God is doing. Let's look at Genesis and chapter 40, verse 15. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. So even though Joseph at one point was now put in this place where he thought he should not be, he continued. Even though he was there in the dungeon, he continued to be obedient to God. Joseph continued to operate in his gifting, his ability to interpret dreams, showing that he was in tune with God, even in the dark dungeon. In the process, we have to remember the promise of God, because it can become very, very trying. We ought to keep in mind that what God has promised, He will bring to pass.
Amen.
Amen. What God has promised, He will bring to pass. For God is not a man that He should lie, neither a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Indeed, God has promised that he will always, always be with us. Even when we sit in the darkness, God will be with us. Micah 7:8 says, let's turn to it. Micah 7:8. Micah 7:8 reads, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light." There was Joseph in the dark dungeon. I looked it up. I looked up dungeon in the dictionary, and it talked about a dungeon being dark. Dark. Even though Joseph sat in the darkness, I know he knew that God was with him. And even us, when we sit in the darkness, when we're going through a very difficult time, and it is dark for us, we should know that the Lord will be our light. We should know that the Lord is our light. He is a light to me. And then in the process, there is also a place where we can be misunderstood. Joseph was misunderstood by his brothers, even as he submitted himself to what God was going to do in his life. Genesis 37 and verse 8. Genesis 37, verse 8. Those who have your Bibles, please turn with me. And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So people will misunderstand us, and they will hate us because we are claiming that God is doing this for us. Oh, we get a word from God, from His word, and we take that promise and say, God is going to do this for me. And some people think, oh, she must be crazy. You know, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? So what's wrong with Joseph? He thinks he's going to rule over us? Oh, no. So they misunderstood what God was trying to do in the life of Joseph. So sometimes it's only you who has received this word from God who will understand or take it, because you are the one who's seeing the vision. Other people may not necessarily see the vision that you are seeing. You ought to remember that. You may see the vision and others do not see what you are seeing, and they will misunderstand because they do not see your vision. Amen? Amen. So his brothers completely turned against him. We've seen they sold him and they forgot about him completely. And they thought they had done a very good job because they knew he had gone to a faraway land. And they lied to their father. They took the coat, soaked it in some blood of a young lamb, and took the coat to their father and said, your son is dead. But we know that Joseph had not died. And his father could not stop mourning the so-called death of his son. He could not stop. He says, until I die, I'll continue to mourn for my son, my beloved son. But we see Joseph in all this, in all that he had done, his brothers had done against him. We see that he was able to forgive his brothers because he realized that God was with him throughout the process and that God planned it. Let us turn to Genesis and chapter 49. Verse 17 to 21. Is it 49 or 39? Let's see. No, I think I've got the wrong verse. I think I meant 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 17 to 21. Yeah, it's supposed to be 50. And it says, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please, forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin. For they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we are your servants. Look at that dream that he was having coming forth the way he had dreamed. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What a great man of God. And look what and look at what the process of knowing him does to us. The process of knowing him changes. We become more like him. And when we react to circumstances, when we react to people who are trying to do things that are against us, we react to them in forgiveness. We react to them in love, knowing that we cannot be in the place of God. We cannot be. It's for God to judge. God is the one who judges, not us. All we have to do is to be obedient to God. And in the process, be changed by him. He was able to forgive his brothers because he realized that God was with him throughout the process and that God planned it all. There are many other challenging experiences that we can have as we go on through the process of knowing him. And I say this in conclusion. But as we go through the process of knowing him, as we take him by his word, the word of God will be tested in us, whether through fire, through the waters, in the valley, in the storm, on the potter's wheel, we are being changed. He is changing us from one degree of glory to another. Remember that we are continually being promoted. We may not see it, but we are continually being promoted. Others around us will not see it, but we are continually being promoted. Amen? We are being continually changed from one degree of glory to the other, even as we take one step after another step in faith, believing in God to do whatever he has to do in us. For the work that God has started in us, he's sure to complete it in us because he is faithful. Amen? We serve an almighty God, a God who is able, hallelujah, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or ever imagine according to the power that works within us. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Let's give him the praise this morning. Watch God take you through the process. Even as you surrender yourself to the process in obedience to the word of God. Amen.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Sing that with me, the greatest thing. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life. the greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you, serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. If that's truly the greatest thing in your life, please stand with me as we sing this last time. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Knowing you, Lord. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing is knowing you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for your presence in this place this morning. We're so thankful, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit, for the anointing, O God, that you have put on our lives. We ask indeed, O God, that we will move according to the anointing that is on our lives. That indeed, God, we will be conscious of the purpose and will that you have for our lives. And that we'll move forth with power and with vision, knowing, O God, that indeed, the work that you have started in us, you will bring it to completion. So, Father, I pray for everyone that is present in this place this morning, that you'll give them a special anointing. That, dear God, you give them a special empowering. That indeed, God, they will see that vision that you have for them. For you have, oh God, created each one of us for a purpose. And so I ask that each one of us will be able to step into that purpose and live with vibrance and power and touch the world the way we are supposed to, according to the will and purpose that you have for us, and bring honor and glory to your name. Most of all, Father, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has enabled us to have this abundant life. We can claim the abundant life because of what Christ did on the cross, the work that he did on the cross. And that work we cannot do, we cannot add on. Because when he hung on that cross in love for us, he cried out, "It is finished." All we have to do now is to walk into what Christ died for. Accept the salvation that is freely offered to us and start the process of knowing you. Oh God, that indeed that we might know you. We might know you, Father, as our Father indeed, Abba Father, that we might cry out, Abba Father, and know you as our friend. Oh Lord, change our hearts. Melt our hearts. Refine us, oh God, with fire. And rest upon us your Spirit. Let him permeate every area of our lives and give us the strength to live that life that you have so freely given to us. So I pray now upon your people, O God, and I say, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Amen.